You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. My guest this morning is Republican Senate Leader Stephen Harding. He is coming on to talk with us about the outcome of the 2025 legislative session, which just wrapped up days ago. Senator, welcome to the program. Hope you're rested up and ready to go.
I am, Morgan. Always good to be on with you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Let's start off with this. I mean, we're going to talk about the session, and I'll ask you to critique certain things, and I know that you're not going to be happy about certain things, but let's start here. What are some successes that you are proud of from this year's session?
Well, one of them is Senate Bill 4, and that was a bill to help address the public benefit charges. Senator Fazio and the Republican caucus has really been the voice against these rising electric rates, and the fact that we have this public benefit charge that everyone seemed to realize in their bills just this past summer that skyrocketed. And it has nothing to do with the electricity and supply and delivery of your electric bill. Yet you pay for it, subsidizing your electric bill for all these social programs that really should be out on the confines or within the confines of the state budget. The Senate Bill 4 was one thing that Senator Fazio and Republicans championed. It helps reduce the public benefit charge. It doesn't even go close enough to where we need to be, but it is a critical first step in finally basically admitting that this public benefit charge should not be on your bill. It should be reduced. The programs within it should be taken out, and your electric bill should be reduced along with this public benefit charge. So it was a critical first step to doing that. Democrats reluctantly came to the table and worked with us on it. Frankly, we could have done more if it was only Republicans working on it, but we tried to work it on a bipartisan basis to help it take a critical first step, and I appreciate the efforts of Senator Fazio to make that happen. So that was one thing I stepped away from this session being pleasantly surprised that are happy about. There's a lot of other things I disagreed with, but if I have to pick one thing, that has to be the first, I would think.
Well, you're not the only one in describing it as kind of this first step toward addressing Connecticut's high electric rates, bills, et cetera. and the public benefits charges as well, which was debated significantly during the session and before. I want to point out that there was a bill that Democratic State Senator John Fonfara had laid out, a detailed plan on how to save on our electric bills in Connecticut. And I also want to point out that he wasn't alone. Everybody seemingly put out ideas. But his got a lot of attention because it came out at a later time, and it also came out after he had been tied up in particularly what Senate Republicans had called a scandal with Governor Lamont. How serious were his plans, that plan that he outlined and detailed, how serious was that considered? Because he voted no against SB 4.
Yeah. Well, there were parts of his plan that certainly were considered, and when he brought out his plan, we were questioned, we being in the Senate Republican Caucus, particularly myself and Senator Fazio, were asked what we thought or whether we would look at the plan or analyze it. And I think our answers to that then remains the same, which is we'll listen to anyone if it helps reduce electric rates. So we analyzed this plan, and there were certainly parts of it that we used in the plan to help reduce public benefits. There were other parts of it that we disagreed with. A lot of his plan subsidized electric rates with bonding, which is very, very costly. And ultimately, you'd be paying your electric bills on the state's credit card. That really isn't a good fiscal policy. So there are some aspects of it we certainly disagree with. But there were other aspects, helping to shift the public benefit charge, taking PURA outside the confines of DEEP. Those were all things that we ultimately did support and did end up in Senate Bill 4, which ultimately passed. We disagreed with some of the things that Governor Lamont and his office entertained in terms of offering certain votes for jobs, which we would argue rise to the level of at least investigation. And there were some aspects of that bill, frankly, that coincided with the bill that was made, making another quasi-public agency, which would be an agency really outside the oversight of state government, to potentially create jobs for politicians. Those are all things that we certainly would never support, and we called that out at the time. But as I mentioned, there were some aspects of the plan that we think were somewhat effective, and we did use some aspects of his bill ultimately in Senate Bill 4.
Let's talk about some other challenges that you, Senate Republican Leader Stephen Harding, took with this year's legislative session and maybe your caucus overall.
Yeah, obviously fiscal responsibility was one of the biggest aspects going into this session. I think there has been this discussion continuously that you've heard about the fiscal guardrails. I mean, Senate Republicans have been a huge champion of fiscal responsibility and maintaining these guardrails, particularly maintaining the spending cap. So that was a constant struggle this session. Legislative Democrats and even the governor often entertained blowing by the spending cap all to spend money on our bureaucracy in Hartford. And unfortunately, we ended up with a budget that did just that. There were other measures as well in terms of Medicaid deficits and overspending the spending cap to address that at a fiscally irresponsible measure or in a fiscally irresponsible measure. So along with electric rates, which we heard from loud and clear from our constituents was a glaring problem that we had to address, stopping the state from spending irresponsibly, but most importantly, what comes of that, which is stopping the state from increasing taxes this year and down the road, was a huge measure that was a huge cornerstone of what we in the Senate Republican Caucus continue to fight for. We prevented a lot of tax increases, but unfortunately, by the budget that we voted against, we believe that the Democrats and the governor have set our state up for tax increases in the very near future, and we have to keep a keen eye on that going into the summer and going into the next legislative session.
First of all, Senator Harding, I want to point out that disagreements over budgets are not anything abnormal. Anybody that monitors this kind of stuff knows that that happens, right? And toward the end of the session, it definitely seemed to be tense, particularly among Democrats within their own party and with Governor Lamont, over what their priorities would be, what they would spend. Does it go over the cap? Does it stay under the cap? All of those kinds of things, as you've pointed out. And yet Democrats are saying, and as are Republicans, that we could be looking at a special session that could happen at some point in the next year, between now and the next legislative session, that is, because of spending cuts in Washington, something to do with a hospital tax. So why weren't these things better addressed now without having to go into a special session?
Well, I think, you know, Morgan, you addressed a great question. That's exactly what we ask, and as Republicans, is we should be planning forward. Obviously, if things happen in terms of the budget, there's deficits that have to be addressed. We're always willing to go into session to address those issues. But oftentimes, the Democratic majority utilizes special session or utilizes one particular issue as an excuse to go back into session outside the confines and the deadlines of a regular legislative session to pass other bills that they didn't have enough time or had too much objection to by Republicans in a regular legislative session. And so what I do fear is that you're already hearing it from Democrats that they are intending on going into special session in September. They claim to address potential spending cuts from the federal government and address that within the budget. But really, oftentimes, what I've seen in my experience in Hartford is that Democrats are just looking for an excuse to go back into session in September to pass things that didn't have enough time to pass or had too much objection from the public during the regular legislative session. So it's a dangerous and, I would argue, slippery slope. I would hope that if there are deficits or if there are things that truly are budgetary that have to be addressed in a special session, whether it be in September or any other time, it is confined strictly to that and not as a way to obfuscate what is a very important legislative process and timelines that are required, set in our Constitution and abided by ourselves as legislators and the people of the state of Connecticut.
Senator Harding, what is this hospital tax and what about it needs to be addressed and revised? That's something that Democrats and Republicans agree on, seemingly, that there needs to be some kind of a revision there.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of it ties back to a legal settlement that was made between the hospitals and the government a few years back based upon litigation that incurred, because really what was happening was, based upon the Affordable Care Act, there are some provisions that allow a state to raise taxes and then reimburse the amount received back from the federal government to hospitals. What the state has been doing for years, particularly under Governor Malloy and unfortunately now under Governor Lamont, is increasing those hospital taxes. And instead of returning the federal increased spending back to the hospitals, basically retaining that revenue for themselves to spend on funneling our bureaucracy in Hartford. And as a creative way, but I would argue a fiscally irresponsible way to balance this year's budget and to meet all the needs of the democratically, you know, politically connected bureaucracy in Hartford, the Democrats constructed a plan that raised the hospital tax, which would also raise the amount of money coming back in federal reimbursement, but then keeping that federal reimbursement for themselves to funnel our bureaucracy in Hartford. Just very fiscally irresponsible and crippling. Crippling to our hospitals that are already under fiscal constraints to begin with. And so obviously that is something that we have been saying has to be fixed. There has to be an offset there. There has to be some increased funding to the hospitals to offset this tax or a reduction in the tax. You can't be utilizing this hospital tax as just a revenue gain for the state, which is effectively what has been done here in this particular budget. I do find it quite odd that the Democrats have been coming out and saying they need to fix this when they were the ones that created this problem by crafting a budget that did exactly this. It is pretty hypocritical. They shouldn't have voted for a budget that did this if they believe it needs to be fixed.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, I'm running down some key points and key happenings from the 2025 legislative session that just wrapped up with Senate Republican leader Stephen Harding. And next week, we expect to get the Democratic response to all of these issues as well. I'd like to move on, Senator Harding, to the housing bill, HB 5002, which now Senate Republicans are calling on Governor Lamont to veto. And interestingly, as he reacted to the outcome of this year's session, he had even admitted that he wished that he was more involved in negotiations on that particular bill, which did get a lot of controversy and debate in the waning days of this year's legislative session. One of the things that I had heard a lot discussed from the House, not from the Senate, but from the House, was how Connecticut government, being a small state, we don't rule from counties, and that they're trying to get more municipalities involved with the state level in addressing Connecticut's housing crisis. What do Republicans think need to happen here? What are your solutions to this plan that might be counter to what's actually been passed?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, I mean, first off, in order to do anything, Governor Amott needs to veto this measure. I mean, this measure is the implementation of statewide zoning. You can call it what you want. You can sugarcoat it. You can say there's reasons for it. But if you believe in local zoning control, if you believe that local towns should be able to determine where residential housing gets developed, how it gets developed, et cetera, then you are against this bill, because this is the absolute implementation of statewide zoning in Connecticut. It is the end, the beginning of the end for local zoning control, because essentially what it's doing is tying all types of critical funding to our local towns that they rely upon to operate our schools, to operate the municipal government, and tying it to basically all these different zoning laws and housing measures, which for some towns are just simply impossible to implement. And so the first thing that needs to be done is Governor Amott needs to stand up to legislative Democrats who want to abolish local zoning and to say no, he believes in local zoning, and veto this bill like we as Republicans have asked him to do. And then secondarily, if we want to work on incentives to help address residential development across our state, we're happy to have that discussion. We've had that discussion in the past. But the one thing that we've said time and time again as Republicans, as Senate Republicans, is we will always oppose measures that effectively or directly strip away local zoning control. And this bill is the prime example, as I mentioned, the beginning of the end of local zoning control and the beginning of statewide zoning being enacted in the state of Connecticut. And that is the reason why we vehemently oppose this measure. We'll continue to vehemently oppose this measure. And we'll continue to call upon Governor Lamont to do the right thing if he believes in local zoning control and to veto this measure.
Is there much of an investment going on in eastern Connecticut to address affordable housing? And what I mean by that is a lot of the talk that I hear about, that we hear about at WTIC, is focused on Fairfield County, where real estate is extremely expensive, and more so in certain parts of the county. But yet Windham County, it's very different. However, Windham County and Fairfield County are radically different. Eastern Connecticut is largely more rural. There's less development, fewer job opportunities, and yet people are struggling to find homes, largely where there are single homes, single family homes, and not multifamily or larger apartment buildings that you'd find in, say, Stamford. So, you know, has Connecticut looked a lot at east of the river, so to speak?
I mean, I believe that, well, the programs that are that are intact obviously apply everywhere across the state, whether it be Western or Eastern Connecticut. Living in Western Connecticut, I haven't seen it firsthand, but obviously I work with a lot of legislators that represent districts east of the river. And from what I hear from them, it is going on. Maybe not at the level that you see in Western Connecticut or Fairfield County, but certainly Eastern Connecticut has seen development, has seen residential housing development. And frankly, like I mentioned, it's done on an incentive basis. It works with developers to provide some state funding to provide, you know, some affordable housing to individuals in the area. But most importantly, it's done in a manner, in speaking with legislators, that it's done in a manner that works with and abides by local zoning control. And that's all we're saying. We believe in finding suitable housing for all individuals. But it just needs to be done in conformance with local towns. And in speaking with executives in towns, even east of the river, no matter where in the state of Connecticut, there is a want to develop housing. But it just needs to be done in conjunction with local zoning and planning boards. And effectively, what you see Democrats in Hartford do is they don't want to have any discussion about that. All they truly want to do, their only motive, is to strip local zoning control. And just that is not any way it's a political motive, and it really is doing nothing, in my opinion, to actually address what they say they're trying to address, which is to develop housing for individuals across the state.
I'd like to point out, Senator Harding, that another interesting side conversation that happened during the legislative session this year, and I'll be asking the Democrats about this as well, is seemingly they're disagreeing within their own caucus. You have some very progressive Democrats, some more moderate Democrats, some Western Connecticut Democrats versus Eastern Connecticut Democrats. You have Governor Lamont, who's seemingly at times trying to be a little bit more moderate, at least on certain issues, particularly on fiscal responsibility. How do you read some of the disagreements that they have been having lately?
Yeah, I mean, well, definitely there are disagreements. The governor has basically come out and said he doesn't want to spend openly beyond the spending cap. Legislative Democrats have continuously come out and said they don't care. They just want to openly spend beyond the spending cap because they just want no constraints on their spending. And so there definitely has been a disagreement there with Governor Lamont and some more moderate Democrats. But unfortunately, it seems like the moderate Democrats and Governor Lamont, for that matter, have caved because they just passed a budget that openly blows by the spending cap. Now they say it doesn't. Yet it truly does. They basically played hundreds of millions of dollars of gimmicks to try to say that they somehow abided by the spending cap when they just frankly haven't. And it really is going to hurt the people of the state of Connecticut in the end. It's sad that we've gotten to this point. I was always hoping that Governor Lamont would have some backbone to stand up to the more liberal Democrats in the state of Connecticut and to tell them no. But unfortunately, he hasn't when it matters most. And so the hope is going forward that we do see measures that are more fiscally responsible and supported by more moderate Democrats in conjunction with Republicans. We have really, you know, at the end of session, we really missed that. But once again, will Governor Lamont have a true opportunity to stand with us as Republicans and some more moderate Democrats? He didn't.
You also have Governor Lamont promising a veto on the striking workers support bill that would give these workers who are on strike unemployment after 14 days of being off the job. How do you analyze the dispute there between the majority and the governor?
Yeah, well, I just think I got to give the governor credit for vetoing it, but frankly, I think that it's a far left radical policy that they're implementing, that the legislative Democrats are trying to implement, and Governor Lamont, acting as more of a normal Democrat, is saying, no, I can't possibly support that. I mean, putting your fingers on the scale of what has been historic for generations in this country, union negotiations, is just antithetical to all union policy, to all striking policy, to all bargaining policy. You have separate entities working with unions to negotiate a deal, And by implementing a measure that would provide unemployment to the voluntarily striking workers, obviously puts the finger on the scale and basically says government is taking one side of this negotiation, which I think has significant consequences to the many businesses in the state of Connecticut, particularly anyone in the manufacturing sector here. Governor Lamont has come out time and time again and has said that he wants to reinvigorate the manufacturing base in our state. And I think he knows, and the reason why he's saying he's going to veto this, is that if this were to pass, you would cripple and basically destroy anyone in the manufacturing sector we have in the state, and certainly would prevent, at the very least, any new manufacturing from coming into the state of Connecticut. I mean, it would be crippling to any businesses or any mid to larger level business that would be coming into the state, which obviously provides jobs and also significant revenue to the state. So I think the governor did realize that, realized how far left and radical that policy is, and I do appreciate his statements in vetoing it. I have not seen him do it yet, but I hope he will do it shortly.
There has been a bit of dispute over the number of bills that died on the vine this particular year. They didn't get very far, or they got pretty close, but Wednesday night didn't make it, like the bear hunt, for example. Democrats have suggested that that's kind of the way it is. Generally, Republicans have some concerns this year, at least, that some of the committees worked more inefficiently. So my question to you, Senator Harding, does this mean that there could be a bigger push next year in the shorter session to pass laws? Or do you think that there's going to be a push to be more efficient, at least in trying to get more votes and trying to get bills out faster?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of reasons why certain bills didn't move forward. Even the bear hunt, which I think is logical policy when you speak with any biologist, and simply following the science that the only way you're going to address the bear population is by implementing a regulated hunt by DEEP. But look, and there are a lot of reasons. Yeah, I think we always can be more efficient in legislative process. But frankly, there are a lot of bills that I look at, and I think it's a good thing that the state of Connecticut didn't pass. So I don't know if it's always efficiency as much as it is the people and the public in the state of Connecticut that are wise and that are smart stepping up and saying, no, this bill is a bad bill, and then ultimately preventing it from moving forward. And Democrats may use the committee process as an excuse as to why the measure didn't move forward. But I think in a lot of cases, you find that it's people in the state of Connecticut speaking up, speaking their mind, which they should be, and telling legislators, you should not support this. And then ultimately, the bill dying because of that, more than it is how the legislative process operates.
Senator Harding, you've been very generous with your time. And as we've done the last few years, at the end of the legislative session on Face Connecticut, we always talk with a Republican and a Democrat to get their thoughts on how it all went. My final question, anything we didn't get to that you'd like to bring up?
I think that's about it. I mean, it's really the budget and some zoning bills. And look forward always to the conversation. Really appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, Senator. We'll do it again next year. What do you say?
Look forward to it, my friend.
Take care. Have a good summer.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You as well.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally?
Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.